It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome along once again to the Cardiff City phone-in. Two games against relegation-threatened sides in the last few days. Both major rivals of ours, actually, over the years as well, in Birmingham and Millwall, and mixed results. Our special guest on the show tonight is Cohen Griffith. So, Cohen, thanks very much for coming on the show again. The nice touch with the Welsh flag above your head there. That's a nice one, yeah. Great to have you on the show. Good to see you. Thank you for that.
Thank you very much for the invite.
And Peter Bradbury is back with us tonight. Hi, Pete.
Hi, Steve. How are you?
Yeah, I'm all right.
It's a real pleasure to be with Cohen. He was a hero of mine when I was a kid growing up.
Yeah. I know you got plenty to ask him about. I'll go to you in a second, because we can start with a little bit of that before we go to the other stuff. So, Steve, were you at Millwall and Birmingham?
I was, yes.
Okay. So I'll come back to you on this as well about those games. I'll just ask you one thing before I go back to Pete. 3-1, was that flattering to Millwall? Was that third goal? It was an argument that might have been offside.
I thought the first half, although we were 2-1 down, we were slightly the better team. Millwall had taken the lead again. Both the goals in the first half were down to our frailties, I think, rather than anything good that Millwall did. We got back to 1-1 with yet another set piece goal, and we'd actually played quite well. I think Nat Phillips had a really good chance to get us to 2-1, but then it was in added time at the end of the game. We didn't clear the ball properly. We were all out of position. Ball got played to the far post, and the Millwall player volleyed it in on the far post. Second half, though, we didn't do anything. I have to say, I'm biased as heck, as you know. I have to say that we didn't deserve anything out of that game the way the second half went. I would say it's completely different to trips to Millwall back in the day. The first time I went there was 1982. We won 4-0 at the Old Den, still locked in the ground an hour after the end of the game. On Saturday, I went with my son. We just walked straight out and straight off. It was a different world. On the other hand, Birmingham was a very good performance. We deserved that win.
Yeah.
Ironically, just after the most of the away end had been calling for Josh Bowler to be taken off.
He took his goal really well. It was a great one too, wasn't it?
Yeah. Again, I think the last two games have kind of summed up our season. We're in 11th place, and I think we are where we deserve to be because we have been hugely inconsistent. There have been some tremendous. There have been a few highs this season, comparatively speaking, particularly the win against Ipswich, of course, with the two goals at the time. The home derby wins against Swansea, and I particularly enjoyed the Bristol game, fantastic goal by Ruben. And, of course, the 4-0 win at Huddersfield just after the Bristol game. There have been some highs, but I'm not going to drag everybody down by the lows. Cohen mentioned a couple of the home games that have left a lot to be desired before we came on air. We are where we deserve to be. We're in the middle because we've been a bit of a curate's egg, and there's some good and bad parts, but an improvement on the last couple of seasons, I think.
And you're very diplomatic and generally very positive, and your glass is normally half full. So I'm sure other fans who travelled like you do may have stronger things to say.
The team selection needs to be debated, Steve. I think.
Actually,
I want to raise that because the last 20 minutes against Birmingham, I thought we saw what Cardiff should be. We had David Turnbull playing deep.
I agree with
Ashford,
you.
We had Ashford on out wide.
Yeah.
Ruben Colwell was
Ian Ashford looked great as well, didn't he?
Yeah. Ruben Colwell was given a free roll. Ashford was fantastic last 30 minutes. And I thought that he missed a real opportunity against Millwall because I've watched the 90 minutes today in preparation for this because I was at Cairo versus Pontedawi on Saturday.
Big match.
It was a brilliant match. Cairo won and, one of my teams always win and one of them always loses. And Cairo got the victory this week. But the problem, I was furious at about 2 o'clock at Cairo Football Club looking at team selection and seeing that we're not, unless you throw these kids in when there's nothing to play for and give them an opportunity, how will you know if they're good enough going into what is a big season next year? I think we should talk about that at length later.
I just want to say, Pete, and I don't mean to interrupt you, just thinking it might be a good way to bring Cohen in. I mean, and Cohen doesn't get to that many City games these days, yeah? But we hope he goes less because every time he goes, we lose. But then, that's a lot of averages this season, isn't it, really? But Cohen, what's your take on, I wonder if you've got any memories about that, bringing in youngsters, giving kids a chance. What's your take on that?
Well, it's got to be done, obviously, at some stage. Pete just said about giving them the youngsters a chance when there's nothing to play for. But it seems to me, and I like I say, I'm on the outside a little bit as a City fan and on the forums and stuff. But it seems that there's always something to play for. For the manager, if people are calling for him to go or I don't like this, I don't like that or whatever it might be. Perhaps he's feeling under pressure that, I need a result for this. So you're not going to let, take a risk on the youngsters unless I've got a free hand on this one.
Do you remember any times when you were playing any youngsters who played, who went on to do well? Or do you remember any really young players coming in?
I remember... Well, for Cardiff now, when Lee Baddeley made his debut, we were something like Gillingham away, and they had a big centre forward. Oh, I can't even remember his name.
It was Leo, wasn't it? Cohen? Leo? Huh?
Was it Leo? The Fortune West?
No, it was... I was thinking something like an Alcott or something like that. But a big centre forward anyway, well known for putting himself about. And I remember... looking at Bads after about 15 minutes and he'd already got blood all over him and everything like that. And I said, yeah, I'd rather you than me marking him sort of stuff, But, there's a few who made really good debuts, given a bit of a chance. I remember when Wiggy came in. And, he was a storm centre midfield. I don't know, a dream debut And then the next thing you know, it's like Stoke wanted to sign him, didn't they, and things like that. Or that was the talk anyway. Don't know how true it was. But nothing came from that. And then before you know what's happened, that could have been his career.
Yeah. I mean, the point about, I'll bring Pete back in on a second. Sorry, Peter, interrupt you. Just to say, Cohen, they talk about, you never win anything with kids. That old chestnut, can't remember who said it now, but it's a very famous quote. And then you see the Liverpool game in the Cup when they played a whole bunch of kids, and they had the audacity to look great, obviously they've got a different standard of kids, but if you're good enough, you're in, aren't you? It doesn't matter how young you are, does it?
No, I think if you are, if you're good enough, then you're old enough. I think, the situation with Klopp is, though, that if he had played all those youngsters and they had lost, nobody would have been calling for his job. They would have said, he's just giving the youngsters a break or whatever it might be, trying to give them experimenting. Fair enough. I don't know if the Cardiff manager's got that luxury to do that.
Cohen, well, he hasn't. He hasn't, and that's half the issue. The fact that they haven't, I'm sure Steve will have a view on this, the fact that the club have not said whether Errol Bullitt will be here next season, I think is a lot of the reason in as to why he isn't giving these kids a game. I think if he had a contract and he knew he was back next year, we would be seeing more of Ashford, probably a little bit of Joel Colwell as well as Rubin. I think that is half the problem. I think the board have got to, I think the board have got to make a decision on Errol, Steve. I don't know what Steve Thomas thinks, but they've got to make a decision. It is now hindering every bit of preparation for not just these last three games, but the season as well. Going next season as well. It can't be good for the players not knowing who the manager is going to be next year and who's going to be making decisions on their future.
Steve, do you want to respond to that?
Yeah, I do. I do want to pick up on what Cohen said there. I think you hit the nail on the head, Cohen, when you said about the manager needing to basically sell himself. Because if he's not going to be there next season, his CV is going to look better if we got more points and we're higher up the table. Yeah. He can point to the fact that we finished 11th rather than 13th, 14th. It's going to be better for his CV. But I think you're right as well, Peter, that he's not going to be blooding the youngsters if he thinks he's got a better chance of getting us higher up the table at the end. I think that it does come back, as you say, Pete, to the fact that he's not been given a decision on what's happening to him next season, which isn't very good for anybody. It's not good for us. It's not good for the players. It's not good for, certainly not good for Errol.
I don't know whether Cohen, you want to respond to that. I don't know whether you've been in that kind of circumstance. I'll put it maybe slightly differently. I'm sure you've been in this circumstance, maybe even during your time at Cardiff, where you kind of know the manager might be on the way out, you know, and you're like, you're under contract, you're looking to next season, and, you know, I mean, it must filter through to the players, mustn't it?
Yeah, I think so. But, you know, at the end of the day, you're going out there, you've got a job to do. I mean, I know when I'm going out to play a match, I'm not thinking, will the manager be there next week or will I be there next week? You know, you're going out there and you're concentrating for 90 minutes or however long it is on that team and on that performance. And then everything else will fall into place. You can only affect what you can affect, really. So yes. It never really, I never looked into it that deep. I just used to try and go out and do as well for myself and for the team and everything else as I could. And then the other things will fall into place anyway.
Steve. One season, Eddie May started as manager. Then Terry Yorath came in, and then Eddie May ended as manager. I mean, you played for us, Cohen, during some of the most biggest basket case times that we were ever in, I think. So it was good you had that attitude. But Clemo, Kumar, Ricky Wright.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, Pete, to back your point, saying I was going to say, you know, Cohen, you can just, you know, you've got a real kind of laid back kind of way about you. You don't seem the kind of person to get kind of irate and wound up. So maybe that stuff, maybe it didn't affect you in that way. Without naming any instances, were you aware any times any football clubs you played at when there was like the manager had sort of lost the team a bit? You know, does that happen? Is that really a thing?
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah, I think it is a thing. I'm trying to think. For me, majority of managers had the backing of the team for most of the time. And you know what it's like. If the manager's there and he's playing you, then you're going to say, well, he's not too bad. You know, the ones who tend to have the gripe are the ones who aren't playing. And, you know, fortunately for me, I was involved most of the time. I think the only time I wasn't involved as much and I was still on the bench was when Yorath was there. You know, he used to leave me out occasionally.
Yeah.
Or I wasn't starting matches anyway when Terry Arthur was there. But generally, if I was fit, I would be involved.
Can I ask you a really straightforward question, right? And it's interesting because 92, 93 and all the rest of it, you know, so going back 30 years ago, even like Steve Shirt, pays testament to that. Yeah. You got the shirt on for you, Cohen, yeah?
Thank you very much.
I've dug it out. It doesn't come out often, Cohen, so...
it's going back quite a long way, but, you know, obviously, I mean, you're the perfect person to ask. How much has football changed these days in terms of like the way it's played? Because while a lot of City fans, I know people totally agree with this, and Steve actually, you know, I mean, I just hate this inverted winger stuff. You know, like so at the moment we've got a guy up front. I mean, he did manage to score on the weekend. I don't know where his strike rate is for the season, and I don't think he's a striker. You know, I just don't think he's a striker. Maybe he managed to score, as Steve said, albeit from a free kick. But we play this front three. And because, Cohen, we got basically a right footer on the left and very much a left footer. I think he uses his right foot to find out where the touchline is, you know. He's got no right foot, basically. So and then whoever you have in the middle, there's no service coming in.
Yeah.
So there's really no width and no one's ever going to get the byline. And how are they ever going to put the ball in the box for a striker? I'm guessing in your days, you know, I think you played predominantly down the left, if I remember, I think. Is that right?
Well, I used to play down the right.
You played both sides, yeah.
Right, or centre forward. Okay. But, you know, obviously on the left as well. And
which foot were you using?
Well, I'd use both, but predominantly right-footed. But yeah, I do think that, you know, as you're saying, if you are a left-footer playing on the right, then it makes it difficult for the centre forward, you know, especially if it depends on the type of centre forward you've got. But if you've got a big centre forward who thrives on crosses, then I think it makes it hard for them. Mm. You know, I think you need to at least, as the winger, be able to go the other way and attempt to get a cross in, because that will keep the defence honest for a start. And I suppose the whole point of a left footer on the right hand side and vice versa is that they can then cut in and have a shot. But if you are so one-footed that that's all you've got, then it's easy to mark. You've got, and to prevent, you need to have the other option as well, just to free up.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
What you want to do.
And to back you up on that, Steve Wiggins has come in with a comment, appreciating you haven't seen a lot of City recently, Cohen, but wouldn't it be nice if the City was set tactically to win a game, like Pete said earlier, as soon as you saw the team news, you know, rather than contain. We've got three games to go. I take your point about the fact he wants to generate points in order to, you know, give himself a better kind of heritage, if you like, in his time at the club, because we don't know. We don't know whether he's here next season or not. No, nobody knows. But on the other hand, you know, if he wants to, it's unlikely, but if he wants to, say, you know, experiment a bit, maybe try putting people with the right feet on the right side, you know, playing a bit more attacking, giving some of the kids a chance, you know, playing some nice football and giving the fans something to get behind, maybe that would also give them a case to argue for staying.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. You know, it comes down to, and you know, as the fans, would you rather see a win inside, even if it's a little bit boring or whatever, or would you rather see a side that goes out, has really full of flair and everything, but loses? I mean, I know the ideal situation is that you have a side that's full of flair and goes out and attacks and wins. But if it came down between those two, which one would you prefer?
Yeah, it's a great classic point, which I'm going to let Peter respond to in a second. But just to say, my point in it is, honestly, with three games to go, I think you know, I think of the fans who went up there to Millwall and the fans who travelled to, like Steve. You know, went to Birmingham, came back, went to London and whatever. In Steve's case, he lives in the Midlands, but still, he does a hell of a lot of miles over the season. And I just see such a defensive negative thing. And when I went to watch the most recent game, and I was there with my daughter, and there were two kids on the bench going, Kian Ashford and Joel Caldwell. Mm-hmm. And my daughter's only 20. said, blimey, Dad, they look about 14, you know? They were so young. But it was lovely about it was because they were down at the Canton end of the ground in the new setup at the stadium. And you could just see they were watching every kick, watching every move. They could want to get on the pitch, want to get on the pitch. 5 minutes to go, sat on the bench again, game over, you know. I just think if you bring those kids on, Cohen, and you'll have an opinion on this as an ex-City player. Apologies, by the way, I put you on the wrong wing, but it was 30 years ago in my defence, and I'm sorry. Yeah.
I could play badly on either wing, it doesn't matter.
I remember enjoying seeing you play, but am I right in saying, do you think, as any club, never mind Cardiff City, you know, if you bring on the local kids and they're making a few mistakes, whatever, the fans get behind them, and they just love to see the local kids on there, you know, to give them a game.
Yeah.
Give them a go.
Yeah, I think that... you know, there's times where people were saying, they don't have any affinity with the club and they don't feel for the club and they don't know what it means and all this sort of stuff. And people seem to be, you know, I'm sure it wasn't true, but people are getting accused of perhaps just taking the money or whatever it might be. Now, if that was the case, surely it's better to bring on a youngster who is absolutely dying
totally
to prove their point and will run around it. Because, you know, fans just want effort a lot of the time. If you can get quality and effort, great. Who's going to run around and try absolutely everything to make a name for himself. But and maybe it's better like that. But you can't have a team full of those.
No.
You won't get anywhere. So, but yeah. And I think, as has been said, a lot of it might boil down to simply the pressure that would be on the manager. And if this pressure wasn't there, if he knew he was there next week or whatever it might be, or next year, sorry, then he is a little bit freer to have a go and experiment and see how will they fit in next year?
Yeah.
But remember, if you are under pressure to win every game or to win the games because you don't really know, you know, how it's going to pan out, then you're not going to be playing those players. You're going to play what you consider to be your best side.
Okay. I was going to ask you something else, Ember, it slipped my mind, which is probably just as well.
Pete, sorry about that.
No. It's great, Cohen. It's great having you on, hearing you. Pete, do you want to come in?
Yeah, I guess my point, and I'll ask, I think Steve will have a view on this as well, because Steve sits about three rows in front of me at the ground. I think your view is probably the same as mine. I guess from my point of view, Cohen, I'm quite patient with Bullitt, actually. I think I can see the bigger picture, and I think he should have another year, and I'd like to see him have another transfer window to see what plays he can bring in that are his, because the ones he have brought in, which we know are his, have been good in Gutas, Siopis and things like that. But I just do not see what the benefit is of watching a Josh Bowler, who I think, to be honest, hasn't put a performance in for a while, even on Wednesday when he scored, isn't our player, is on loan at Forest, or a Ferdy Dieju, you know, or even a Ryan Wintle, players like that who we've got under contract. We know what they can, and more importantly, what they can't do. And I'd like to see Ashford have a go at front, Steve, because I can't see how we can be any worse than what we've had this season at front. And I like Mate. I think Mate is a completely different player on the wing than he is at front. I think he's a danger.
I think I prefer him out there.
Yeah. But I genuinely think it's, you know, we'd be a more dangerous team if we had Ruben Caldwell playing and we in that side and we built around him now to the end of the season and we gave some of the younger players an opportunity. And it is going to be tough because, again, the temptation when you're playing Southampton on Saturday is to play a more experienced team.
Yeah.
But Russell Martin has turned over this more experienced Cardiff team every time he's had them. How about the definition of madness and insanity is doing the same thing when it doesn't work over and over and again. So maybe try something different. But I don't know what Steve Thomas thinks, but I think a lot of us fans are in that boat.
I agree with a lot of that, Pete. I think if we set up like we did against Ipswich, I mean, I obviously went to the Ipswich game, but I was I was very, very pleased to get anything out of that game, to win it the way we did. Even if we'd lost that game, because we basically had a go, we'd taken the game to them, I wouldn't have been as disappointed as I was at the two games that Cohen mentioned he went to against Preston and Leeds, where we just didn't seem to turn up. Hull, we turned up for 10 or 15 minutes or so until that terrible free kick that gave them the third goal. But if we set up against Ipswich, the way we did against Ipswich, against Southampton, let's try going toe-to-toe with a team. Let's start with somebody like Turnbull, who is going to be there next season because he's signed permanently. I think we need to have a go. I come back to Cohen's point as well. I would much rather see a dead boring game. We win it 1-0 with a goal off somebody's backside than lose a game 4-3, 5-4, whatever. Because that's not what they. I want to see us win.
Yeah, I don't know whether Cohen's seen either of the last two games, but at Birmingham, we ended up with, I thought it looked really good. It was Kieran Ashford, by the way. He's one of those players. I don't know if you've seen Kieran or heard of Kieran Ashford yet, Cohen, but was he 17, 18? This kid coming.
He's through. A talent, real talent.
I really think he's got something about him. I just hope, you know, we don't do an Aaron Ramsey and, you know, a few million comes in and he disappears. I really think he's got something special. But when he came on, we ended up with him and Ruben and Turnbull, who we signed for a couple of million. And between those three, the way they're playing the ball around, we started to look great, you know. And then I thought that's the way we're going to go. But then again, with Errol Bullitt, again, next match around, you know, he goes back to going down that safe thing. And I think his point is, Cohen, I don't know whether you know whether you had this, maybe Terry or Arthur, I don't know, might be one like this, you know, more focused on not losing, not giving a goal away, keeping it tight, keeping it safe, rather than, you know, let's go for it, particularly at home.
Yeah. Well, maybe if you, I can understand there's loads of managers nowadays who, you know, keep what you've got type stuff, what you start off with and see if you can nick one. Mm-hmm. And that's how a lot of teams play away from home. I think at home you've got these are the people who are paying the wages, and there's a little bit more onus to attack and give them something to cheer and stuff like that. And I can't remember which game it was, but as I said I was disappointed with, it was like almost like the attitude at Leeds that they
against Leeds at home,
go for it. And then when a tackle was made, the crowd were actually cheering because there was a tackle.
Yeah.
You know, and I, as you were saying, just the fact that prepared to go, you know, you regardless of the result, that they were prepared to have a go and see what they were made of. Mm. I think at home, maybe just a slight shift. But, you know, if your principles are your principles, if you are defensive minded, it's very, very difficult to change. But yeah. I think that maybe a little bit for the fans to get behind, because then the place becomes much, much harder place to play at, because the fans are on your side and they're lifting the players and they're getting on the opposition's backs and all that sort of stuff. The atmosphere is completely different then.
Can I ask you a question, Steve?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's a bit. You played in an era, Cohen, where, and I that was my. You were, like, say, when you scored one of the first goals I ever saw a Cardiff City player score, a 3-1 win against Walsall.
And do you remember that one?
It was home.
Oh, I don't remember that one.
Relegated Walsall, and then we went down 2 weeks later at Bury. But
I remember that one. Yeah.
Yeah, but you had. It's about the toxic atmosphere, actually. You played an era where Clemo was enemy number one as the chairman. Then we had Ricky Wright and the Eddie May era, which was some of the best times I can remember, even as a 12-year-old kid. You know, what's his name? Eddie May. That 92-93 team. Still the team that other promoted sides are judged against right now. Even I think Cardiff fans of my era still look back on that one more positively than the ones we've got promoted to the Premier League up to, you know, because there's a real awakening, the junior bluebirds and all that. You saw it, how that can change. And then you went in for Kumar, and and you look at those stuff, that's like one end of the spectrum to the other and back to the other end. So you saw some of the worst and best times of Cardiff, where fans were literally protesting every week. or we're going traveling to see Scunthorpe with 7,000 of us going there to see us win promotion, and then again protesting against the owner again. How much of that, during that period, were the players aware of? And have you got any stories about particularly the Clemo and Kumar eras? Because for me, that there was a protest, Steve, I'm sure, but I mean, there was a protest every week in those days, you know?
Yeah, well, I don't think the Tony Clemo, I mean, he was at the club when I was there, but he couldn't have been there
not long. He sold the club at the end, yeah.
Yeah, so you know, in terms of protests, I knew that we weren't particularly sort of enamoured with him, but I wouldn't really know too much of the background, especially not coming from the area either. I don't think I was there with Kumar. I don't think so. When did he go?
I think you left the season he bought the club and we had that Jim right. Cadman nonsense.
Okay.
Do you remember that, Steve?
I do remember that, yeah.
I don't know too much about that side of it. In terms of the good feeling you get when the side's doing well and when everybody is back in the club, you know, the doubles year 92-93. I think that was actually Rick Wright's biggest mistake, because he said, I'm going to keep the club for 3 years or whatever it might be, and then I'm going or whatever it might be. And he kept it for 3 years, and then it culminated in the thing. And then all he needed to say was, I'm going to go again. And he would have sold so many season tickets, right? But instead of that, and, you know, there might be reasons behind it, I don't know. But instead of that, it was like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I might do this, I might do that. And it just killed it all. And I think he stayed for a little bit, but I think the opportunity had been missed then. He just needed to say, right, on promotion, right, I'm going to go again. And it would have just carried through.
That team only needed two or three additions.
Yes, yeah. We didn't need much more to go up again.
Steve Thomas.
Can I come in? I'd forgotten that bit, Cohen. I remember that we got promoted at Scunthorpe. Then we beat Real 5-0 in the World Cup final. Didn't you score two goals in that game as well? With Stanley,
yes, I did.
You remember those?
And then, of course, literally after that, a balloon, pin, bang. Rick Wright says he's going. And then, of course, I remember sitting at home waiting for the news to come on, because I think the start of July that year, we didn't even know if there was going to be a Cardiff City the next season, because Rick Wright said he was walking. And then obviously we did keep it together. But you're right. It was the wrong announcement. It was almost like, have we got a club at all at that point as well?
Yeah.
But, I mean, we were in Europe. You know, we went to Europe the next year. We played Standard Liège, and Birdie scored within 30 seconds, didn't he?
Yeah,
and woke him up. But I mean, it's like, you know, the club, that memory. We went from winning that league, beating Manchester City the following season, to being to them being sort of like having Jim Cadman and a bunch of clowns pretending they ran the club. And it was just like, there must have been madness for you, Cohen, in the changing rooms, thinking that, you know, this is a side that really could have pushed on. That 92-93 team really could have pushed on, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I felt that. I felt it was an opportunity missed. You know, Blakey playing really, really well, Carldale flying, and a good mix of, you know, youth and experience. I was disappointed that we couldn't hold it together. You know, we had Gavin Ward in goal and he went, and then Blakey went. And
Gary Thompson, yourself were a bit experienced as well in that midfield, you know.
Well, Gary Thompson, I always felt sorry for Gary Thompson
because he was a striker, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was a striker, but for such a, you know, I don't think we really gave him a lot of service, to tell the truth. You know, the ball was pumped up from the keeper because we never, you know, it's a different game nowadays. You like pass it out from the back and stuff. But we used to go back, and that would be the only time he would really be challenging for a ball in the air. It, very rarely do I think that we got the ball wide and knocked it in and he was challenging to try and score a goal. And so I don't think we used him to the best of his ability. And he was a decent centre-half as well. So we got probably more out of him as a centre-half than a centre-forward.
Yeah. We bring Nigel Harris, who's just come in. He's just done one of his...
Having a full makeover at the moment, so excuse any mess in the background.
I'll show you
that's not me doing the ironing, by the way. How are you, Ian?
Do you want to have a chat with Colin?
Yeah, hi, Colin. How are you doing?
All right, thank you, Nigel.
It brings back great memories. I know Pete was there, you know, of those happy times back in the early 90s and everything like that. Scunthorpe away, I think, for all the fans who were there that day, that's one of those days you take to your grave, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, you know.
I heard you talking about the bad times just now. I was saying to Steve earlier, I can always remember meeting you. Just by chance.
That was a bad time, was it?
No. When we talked about other owners, I met you in Gatty Jack's in Cattays. You were in there having a drink, and it was on the day that Rick Wright, if you can remember, gave the club away to the Junior Bluebirds, and that was. To me, that was the downturn on that team that we built. We thought we could kick on, and it was a sign that Rick wasn't going to invest anymore, and that sent us into those years of turmoil. And I can remember walking up to you, buying a drink, saying, "My daughter's now your owner." But that was a strange old time, wasn't it? How did it feel as a player when that happened?
I don't know. Well, like I say, I'm pretty much one of. I'm just going to get on with it. And deal with what I can deal with, and because you know all of that sort of stuff happens, you know, a long way away from the football pitch. Although it does affect it, but you know, my job doesn't change. Still, to go on the pitch and play as well as you possibly can.
Yeah.
So I just used to get on with it, I think.
And I think that's absolutely right. It's a professional attitude, isn't there? But I think for fans that day. When he gave the club away, you know, he built up something special, hadn't he? The crowds were back, the atmosphere, the vibrancy was there. And it did just feel as like that was the day he was giving up and wanted to pass the baton on, which he did say in fairness. He wanted to get Cardiff promoted and wanted someone else to sort of take the club on. And unfortunately, we didn't at that time. But such a shame. But it doesn't diminish the memories of what we had back then, which were special time support in City.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Colin, I got a question for you from Chris Hughes Jones. I hope you don't mind. I'm just going to do it publicly. I'm just interested. It's nothing controversial, but a straightforward question. But Chris Hughes Jones, have the club invited you for a visit on a match day?
Yeah, yes, I have. I went. In fact, the two times I've been recently, the Preston game and I think it might even have been the Leeds game. No, maybe not the Leeds, but I've been to the match invited by the club. And to be fair to the club, you know, there's still quite a few people there. And if I wanted to go to a match, then I could probably go and see it anyway. It's just I don't have the time. But, the club are always very welcoming. I'm down there on, what day is it today? What? Tuesday.
Monday today.
Monday,
is it?
Yeah, Tuesday tomorrow, yeah.
What day is it today?
Monday.
Oh, good weekend.
Yeah. Well, on Thursday, back, I'm down there because there's I think there's a sort of quiz night with I think it maybe Cardiff Disability Supporters or something like that. Yeah. Anyway, there's a quiz night anyway, so I'm down there on Thursday. So I do get invited to the club quite often and try and get there when I can.
Can you see the comment on the screen now? Because Chris goes on to say a walk around the pitch before kickoff would be fabulous. You know, you haven't done that, I don't think, have you?
Recently when I was down there, I did a sort of interview which was on the screen, but I don't know about a walk around the pitch with all the little kids saying, "Who's that then?" And why is he hobbling so much?
It's not about those little kids, Cohen. It's about us.
Yeah.
No, you're still really well thought of, Cohen. You know. I think you come across which you undoubtedly are a humble and down to earth and normal person. Yeah, you know, there's no, they don't see any sign of an ego there with you, but you're very well thought of at Cardiff City, and so many people remember you playing. One thing I wanted to ask you about it was with that season. I'm sure Nigel and Pete and Steve have thoughts on this as well. Is it was, you know, and that season we had such a tiny squad.
Yeah,
didn't we? We had such a tiny squad, and it seemed to be. I'm thinking of people like Derek Brazil, you know, because I mean, we've seen Derek on the show quite a few times, and he's a character, and it seemed to me like that. Yeah. You know, maybe you can mention a little, say a little bit, think about Derek actually as a player, yeah. But you know, it was like it was a small squad, but there was a lot of character in it, and I think that was significant in how well, it went.
Yeah, there's a. You know, I think it's different days, a different time where, you know, players didn't want to rest so much. You know, I mean, my perfect week was when there was a Saturday and a midweek game because it meant you were hardly training. So, you know, I'd go from game to game. I'd be quite happy with that. But, it might have been a smaller squad, but it was different times. And also, it was a very adaptable squad because... You know, if you look at me, wing, centre forward, full back, I've played. You look at Paul Miller, who was a centre forward, yeah, ended up centre midfield. Nick Richardson, centre midfield, could play. Yeah. Ended up playing on the wing. Yeah. You know, Derek came as a centre half.
Played full back, right, and midfield, back, didn't he? Yeah.
Yeah, right back, could play midfield. There was a lot of adaptability in there. So when we had the injuries, it was just like Daly missed a lot of that season. I think he got injured playing Middlesbrough, or that I can't remember who got played injured against, but he missed a lot of that season. I just went centre forward. I don't know whoever it was, somebody else came in and went on the wing, you know. It was there's a lot of adaptability, and there was a good team spirit as well, which goes a long way.
Talking about strikers, Pete, let me just put a comment on the screen for you and Cohen to react to. Let's see what Cohen says about this. Cohen.
Is that Chris Pike saying that?
Andrew Turton has always been a massive Chris Pike fan.
Yeah. Well, Pikey, listen, I know he's got a lot of detractors or whatever it might be. But
20 goals a season every year.
Yeah, but he did what you're supposed to do, and the hardest job, put the ball in the net. So you know, I mean, I used to run around like an idiot, and I'd quite happily do Pikey's running around if he puts the ball in the net. You know, it's about a partnership. You know, and Pikey's not stupid, and I know he liked to be the top goal scorer, and I'm convinced. He was very studious about the pace of the shot and all that sort of stuff. And I'm convinced that sometimes Pikey used to put me wide so I had no option but to cross it to him. So as he carried on being top goal scorer, if it was ever close, which it wasn't really, because he's a penalty taker and he's a goal scorer as well. So, yeah, listen, Pikey, did well. Some people didn't particularly like him or whatever it might be. For whatever reason, but he'd put the ball in the net, and that's what it's about.
What would we kill, Nigel and Steve, for a 20 goal a year striker? I mean, you look at him. I mean, Carl Dale will always be one of my heroes. I thought after you left, Cohen, he scored goals which kept us in the Football League, in my opinion. But you look at that. He was there. Stant was there. Pike was there, and you were playing on the wing or a friend. I mean, we'd kill for that. I know it's a different level and different times, but I'd kill for the front four who were that capable. Nigel, wouldn't you?
I'll tell you a funny story about Chris Pike. Not the time I marked him playing football. We beat him and I marked him out of the game. Not that one. Cardiff played QPR. I think you were at the club at the time, Cohen. We drew at Cardiff, went to a replay at QPR. And one of my few friends, I haven't got many football friends, but if by pure chance, Paul Parker, who played for Man United in England, is a pal of mine and still is to this day. And he was playing with QPR at the time before he transferred to Man United and went up to Loftus Road. I think we lost 2-0 or 2-1. But Pikey ran Paul Parker ragged that night, and he was like the big next thing, wasn't he? And I'm still dining out on that because he really he showed his quality that night. He really was a good player. They're more skillful than people gave him credit for.
Yeah. You know, he's quick. You know, decent in the air, quite brave. Two
Cohen now, because we have, when you look at our wingers, you know, the inverted, cutting inside. Yeah. Yeah, I'm saying, what could you do to have someone like Cohen in the City side, isn't it? When you've got the inverted winger
as well. Yeah. And I remember, obviously, a lot of talks about the 92-3 season, but I remember when you first came in, was it the 89-90 season, the one we ended up being relegated at the end of?
Yeah.
The way you and Chris Pike came into that side, I remember going to Fulham and see us winning 5-2 there. Some of the games that season, although we ended up getting relegated, there were some tremendous memories that season. I think you both, if you take the compliment, you both kind of gave us hope that season. I mean, go back to Richard Davies's flag that says it's the hope that kills you on the bottom of it. The memories you gave from that season as well to give us the hope. I mean, at the start of the season, we thought, are we going to pick up any points at all? Are we going to go down with a record low? We almost managed to stay up. We needed to get something at Bury at the end of last season. That season, I remember Chris Pike at the bar, I think, in the first few minutes, and then we ended up losing 2-0. But
Steve.
As well as 1893, which people to concentrate on, the 1890 season, I think you gave us some hope there, which didn't quite come to fruition. But yeah, it was good times.
Steve, just to say, was that the game you said you saw Cohen scored two goals and he doesn't remember them? Is that the one?
No, that was a Portsmouth. I think Portsmouth in the 1990-91 season in the League Cup.
I scored two.
No, you one of the goals, Steve. Cohen's goals.
I think you equalised. We drew the home leg with Portsmouth 1-1. Then you equalised, took it to extra time. Portsmouth then beat us in extra time. But I remember we'd be behind the goal. I think you did like a back flick past the goalkeeper. You, the ball had gone beyond you, and you sort of flicked it off your heel into the net. And it's
a wonder goal.
Your modesty that you don't remember that goal. So I particularly remember the little flick. The goalkeeper was going the other way.
I was probably trying to get out the way of it. Tell the truth. I cannot remember that goal. Which is strange. I do remember, well, not even most. I can't remember the names of the kids half the time now. So it's not major surprise.
It's an amazing thing, Cohen, right? I don't know what I'll ask you this, and I'm sure Nigel might want to come on as a Pete, but it's really amazing to me. I've had it happen. I know Nigel's a massive music fan as well. It's happened to me with musicians, you know. I talk to a musician about a famous thing or some event and just kind of changed my life, you know. It's just amazing. And the same with you as a footballer, you know. We so look up to you, and we, you know, and we remember all this stuff, and you can't even remember it, you know. It's my childhood.
It might be because that's what I was expecting to happen. I know it's not, but that's what I'm going to say. It's just another back heeled flick that went in. Loads of them happen all the time.
It's hilarious because we see it through our various spells of our, it's not what football fans do, we see it through various spells of our life. And for me, that 92-93 team is my peak childhood. That 98-99 team is where I started drinking and met Nigel. You know, you get and the Sam Hermani era was university and things like that. We forget for players. Although they're living their dream, it is still a job, isn't it? I mean, but I'm interested in Cohen's attitude because he's, you know, when he was saying about he never really got involved in the back with the backstage politics at City, and he just got on with his job. And that's what a lot of City fans loved about you, Cohen. Actually, is you were always 7 out of 10 at least. I can't
not with Rob Phillips.
Yeah, well, Rob,
that's Rob Willisby, isn't it? You know,
Rob was a lot harsher in those days than he is now.
Griffith 5, it was.
Yeah, well, but as fans loved you, and I think it's the, I don't know whether it's because you came from non-league and you just got on with it. We had a lot of players at the time, and I'm sure they're friends of yours. Who weren't performing like you were in your later spell at the club, and I want to ask, how did you leave Cardiff? Because I thought the club were very harsh on several players who had given good service from that 92-93 team in 94-95 after we got relegated, And that you end up playing for Barry. And I thought you could have still been contributing for us when considering we were finishing third bottom in the whole football league that year. So
yeah.
What happened there?
Well, I felt I was hard done by, I've got to be fair. But Eddie May was manager and he was leaving to go to Barry.
Yeah.
And Rick Wright was still there, and it was basically, I suppose at that stage, you know, I was 32 and maybe they felt that they could pay a youngster less. I don't know. I thought I wouldn't say deserved to have had a longer contract, but I think that they got rid of me too early, to tell the truth. It wasn't a case of wanting to go. It was a case of they got rid of me. My contract was up and they just said, we're not renewing it. I hung on because I felt that I still had more to offer. And I think it took a couple of years for them to get another decent winger in, to tell the truth. But I hung on to see who the manager was and see, you know, if I could get back, I suppose, to a certain degree. But
well, we did get a decent winger in, Colin. We got Jimmy Gardner in, who was one of the worst wingers in the history of the club.
I said it took a little while to get in there. But I hung on just to see who was going to come in and, you know, deliberately didn't sign for anybody. And then I thought, I can't hang on anymore. And then so I signed for Barry and then Kenny Hibbett come in, I think, and who was from Walsall as well. And I always played well against Walsall. So if he'd have signed a week before, if I'd have hung on for another week, then I might have had a chance. Because apparently one of the first things he asked was where I was. But too late then. I should have had something written in my contract with Barry to say that if a club comes in, you know, but that's you know,
it's funny how it was Barry as well with Rick Wright, you know, with the Barry Pleasure Park and all the rest of it, whether that's any connection at all, I don't know. I wanted to ask you about two people, which I'm sure I'll bring you back in there, Steve. Sorry. Two people I want, it's just when a player comes on, we just get lost in it, don't we? Two people to mention, a few words on Nathan Blake, maybe from your point of view.
For me,
Blakey.
I mean, listen, he's had a good career and...
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You know, knowing what Blakey is like, it seems wrong to say I think he could have done a lot more because he's so talented and has got absolutely everything.
Yeah.
That and then went on and played for Wales and played in the Premiership and all that sort of stuff. But it's for me. I just look at what he's got and what he had, and think, you know, perhaps he could have done more. I don't know, which seems really harsh, and he might hate me for it, and probably beat me up next time he sees me. Blakey was absolutely a class player.
He was very good.
Made his debut as a left back.
Yeah,
he was a hell of a centre half. I hated it when. He was marking me as a centre-forward and as a centre-half because he was strong, he was quick, he was good in the air. You know, you'd normally look for a little chink somewhere along the line and he didn't have it.
No. You know? He was so stylish as well, wasn't he? You know, you knew when he entered the room sort of thing.
I remember his day. He was at Bristol Rovers at Twerton Park.
That's right.
And I think we had Ray Daniel, was left back at the time. He was injured and there was no announcement about who this player was that came on, and we just had no idea who was until we read it in the papers on the following Monday. But he had a great game that day.
Steve, I'll come back to you then, and obviously, you know, you want to chat with Cohen. I'll lead you in, Steve, with us, your thoughts on a certain person, and then Cohen, Eddie May.
Eddie May should be remembered for the 92-3 promotion. I think I remember being the only time I ever saw that the fans kind of turn on Eddie was at Wycombe Wanderers away the following season, where half the crowd have sort of turned against him. But you've got to remember him for 92-3. Can I just come back? I've just been doubting myself with Cohen not remembering that goal. I've rather anorakically looked up that game against Portsmouth in 1990, and you did score the equaliser, Cohen. It's there in front of me now. Also, you scored our goal in the home leg against them as well.
Oh, did I? Oh,
you remember that either.
Did I? We do the one machine. All the 3-1 after extra time. I particularly remember because I thought you'd gone too far and you sort of turned around and you back-heeled it over the goalkeeper. I do remember that. So it's a sign of your modesty again, Cohen, that you don't remember that. But I also remember the...
Or old age.
the first goal at Scunthorpe in that famous game that Pete's mentioned. You sort of
I remember that.
Leaping salmon like headed it in. I remember that game particularly because one of my friends who may well be watching tonight said that we went up there. We had both ends that day, and we said where we're going to meet afterwards. He said, "Let's meet in the centre circle." And sure enough, we did meet in the centre circle. Yeah.
That was one of the greatest away games I've ever been to as a City fan, in terms of the experience. Cohen, I know we probably talked about it before, but as a player, to turn Scunthorpe's not down the road, you know. To turn up at Scunthorpe, I know it was a big game, but, you know, everyone, the pantomime horse on the pitch and all the rest of it, everyone dressed up, you know, we took over the whole ground. I think Eddie, I think was it Rick Wright said, thanks for lending us your ground. What was it actually like to be a Cardiff City player amidst all of that?
Yeah, it wasn't even the game, it was like the way up. And, you know, from like 2 hours away from the ground, all you could see was Cardiff fans driving up there with all the fancy dress on and all that sort of stuff. You know, it was ridiculous experience. You know, and you know it makes you realize how much football means to these people. I mean, yes, we're doing it as a job, but or fortunate enough to be getting paid to do what you'd probably be doing anyway. But, you know, some of these people, you know, this is a significant expense out of their weekly pay packet that is being spent on football to go and watch Cardiff and stuff like that. And, you know, I think if more professionals, if they're not already aware of it, were aware of that, then it might make a little bit of a difference to them realising how lucky they are to be in that position.
One thing to ask you about Cohen as well, off the back of what you just said, lovely comment there, by the way, from Chris for Steve, is in terms of, I suppose, then and now, I'll give you a good example. Ninian Park in those days for a while, I was with my much missed Phil Suarez, involved in the PA at the ground, and then after the game, you go into the players' lounge. You know, they were not. You know, there was a lounge. You could just go in and have a drink with the players. You know, and you could just associate with them, and you can have that kind of conversation. But that's another thing that's kind of gone. Have you got any kind of recollections of how you were treated by City fans when you were out and about? You know, away from matches.
Yeah, listen, I've been very lucky. You know, I've never had any problems with the City fans at all. Yeah. You know, when I first moved down, I didn't really know. My wife said I wanted a new house. That was the only direction I was given. So there was new flats or new houses being built just up the road from Ninian Park. Near Bessemer Road, somewhere down there. So I don't know what the thing is called there.
City Garden. City Garden. Yeah, I used to live there.
And I thought, I'm not going to live there because if I'm having a bad game, I don't want bricks thrown through my windows and all that sort of stuff. So I deliberately moved out to the city and thought I was getting away from it. I would move right into the valleys in the middle of it all. So, you know, it didn't really work. But I've never had any problems with fans at all. They've always been really, really nice to me. There was one day I was in the house and these two huge blokes, pulled up outside my house and got out there, kind of thought, oh my God, what's going on now? And they come and knocked on the door. So I sent my wife, obviously. So,
well done.
So they came and knocked on the door, and I thought, oh my God, I'm going to get beaten up here or whatever. And they just said, can we have your autograph, please? And I thought, oh, I was so happy to give them my autograph. So, yeah, so the fans have been fine with me and really good. No, never had any problems.
Do you have any thoughts at all? Sorry, it's a question just in my mind now. Pete, come in on this, by all means. Cohen, just think, between Ninian Park, you know, okay, I'd seen better days, la, 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 yeah. But for me, it was just my spiritual home from when I was a kid. Really special place to me. Compared to the ground now, which is just like, much like any other, you know, purpose-built concrete stadium, really.
Mm-hmm.
Any thoughts on Ninian as a place, you know?
Loads and loads of fans said, I love Ninian Park, you know, because of the affinity that they've always had for it, and perhaps went there with their parents or whatever it might be. For me as a player, and the service of Ninian Park is pretty good, or was pretty good, I've got to be fair. But for me as a player, I would much rather be playing at the new stadium now every week, because I know the surface is going to be better.
Okay.
So I'm not the atmosphere or anything like that. And I suppose they're playing in front of bigger crowds as well, because, you know, I played in front of Ninian Park with like 1,500 people there and stuff like that. And because it was a big ground, it's really, you know, I never used to look at the crowd, because it's a bit demotivating to go out and see it empty. So, but in terms of surface and the amount of people that get in now, I'd rather be playing at the new stadium. And it's nothing to do with the ground. It's just all about the surface, because I needed a good surface to play on. And, you know, my form was like with the weather. It'd be good at the beginning and good at the end of the season, and then the massive chunk in the middle. When the pitches are rubbish, then that's probably when I would struggle.
So I'll bring Pete and Steve in, because we're getting towards the end. But that's really interesting, Pete and Steve, actually, isn't it? Because, you know, our kind of, you know, rose-tinted spectacles, Ninian Park, you know, really special to us. The things we remember about what Cohen did, but, you know, he didn't even remember doing them. It just says it all about the massive gap between us as fans and professional world of football, Pete, yeah?
I think, to be fair to Cohen, like I said, that first season I went, it was only the Bob Bank Terrace, it was all terrace then, and the grandstand, the top of grandstand that was open, because the club couldn't afford to open any of the other ends. Grange End wasn't open, and the canter stand was wood. So, I mean, it's totally understandable when you hear him explain how demotivating that is. But on the flip side, Cohen, it must have been absolutely brilliant when you're playing in front of 22,000 people against Manchester City.
What a game that was.
Place is rocking.
Yeah, listen, it's always nice to be playing in front of a big crowd. That's what you want to do. I mean, if you asked me to go and sing in front of two people, I wouldn't fancy it. But to go and play in front of a big crowd at Ninian or at the new stadium, I love it. I would love it.
And on the crowd, Cohen, some of those crowds where we had 8,000-9,000 against Swansea,
yeah,
so, it's been much better than when we've had 22,000 now. This, you know. It's a weird thing. But players always said, Joe Ledley always said to me, Steve, about, you know, what you don't see about Ninian Park is, like, Joe loved Ninian Park, but one of the things he said to me when he was playing was, the showers are not very good. You know, it's not, you know what I mean? It's not, and players like that comfort, don't they? And
yeah.
So I get it, but for me, you give me a choice between a packed Ninian Park and a packed Cardiff City Stadium. There's no competition.
Yeah. From the fans' perspective,
Ninian Park was special when it was full.
Steve, we're kind of overrunning. We've got Cohen with us. We're probably overrunning.
It was very special, but like Cohen said, I've been in crowds down there as sub 2,000 for league games, and it wasn't very nice. Yeah. Interesting from Michael there about Ninian Park toilets. I don't know where it came from, but there's a picture of the
legendary toilet
on I think on Facebook or some Instagram, whatever, and of people doing what they do in a toilet. Why would somebody take that photograph is the question. Obviously, we all remember how bad the toilets were.
I think toilets was a bit of an exotic description for what we had.
As Danny Baker once said about Millwall, he said, "I'd rather go to the toilet." He didn't use that term. In a hole in the ground, as long as we have a defence that can clear a corner. I think that's what we're after. But again, one of my friends worked on the maintenance at Ninian Park towards the end, and he said it's a lovely place. We've all got great memories there, but actually, it's held together by sellotape. We need to get out of it in the end.
We're right at the end, and there's a lovely comment, which is a nice way to end. So Cohen, thanks ever. It's been great chatting with you again. It's been great, lovely. Thank you so much for doing it. And you do need to do the thing where you do need to come on the pitch before the game. that does need to happen. Yeah, it does need to happen. It'll happen. It'll happen. Bring a tennis racket or whatever, you know. But the comment I wanted to show you here, it's a lovely comment, not to embarrass you, but Chris Hughes-Jones, what a cultured and pleasant person Cohen is. Pleased to hear from him. So, and I think that probably echoes the thoughts of a lot of people, because you come across really well and amiable and polite and humble, which is not unlike the other members of the panel. But there you go, kind of everything.
Okay. Thank you very much. He's humble, but he played over 200 games for our club, and a lot of us remember him very fondly. And as I said,
well, one thing's for sure, we remember it more than Cohen does.
Thanks for the memory of the goal at Portsmouth.
Thanks, guys. Great show. Thank you again, Cohen. See you soon. Cheers. Bye bye. Thank you.
Bye.
Sports Social Podcast Network.